You are listening to a Screenfish one-on-one with actor Graham McTavish. Graham is one of the stars of Preacher, the AMC series starring Dominic Cooper, which will be back this Sunday night. And we're excited to have the chance to talk to him about The Saint of Killers, the difference between justice and vengeance, and the rise in spiritual television. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Thank you so much for talking with me. It's a real privilege to chat with you.
Oh, no. Absolutely. My pleasure.
Really looking forward to season two. I think it starts airing this Sunday.
It does. That's right. And then again on Monday, and then Monday is its regular slot after that.
Could you tell us a little bit about Preacher, just in case somebody here isn't familiar with the show?
Well, it's based on a series of comic books that were written in the late 90s into the early 2000s by Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon, and it concerns a Texas preacher named Jesse Custer, who becomes host to an entity called Genesis, which is a product of a union between an angel and a demon, and he is the host of that. His girlfriend is a female assassin, his best friend is an Irish vampire, and he is pursued across America by its relentless killing machine, Beast from Hell, the Saint of Killers, who I play. And it's quite the ride. They go all over the country. All sorts of extraordinary adventures happen to them. They meet all sorts of extraordinary people, one of whom is called Arseface. I think you don't need me to describe too much what he looks like. And there's this sort of super secret religious fanatical organization called the Grail, and they start to come into season two, and it's always full of surprises, Preacher, and doesn't, I think, conform to any other show. There's no other show quite like it.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've found about it, is it's such a unique tone. It's got that sort of dry, dusty feel of a Western. Yeah, it has these really strong supernatural elements as well.
Yeah. And it's very funny. You know?
Yes.
And that's the other thing. There are things that we can do on Preacher which, you know, it seems like you can't do anywhere else. There's a lot of things to it, and it's done with a lot of style and flair. And it's very true in many ways to the comics, both in its content and in the way it's shot. So it reflects that comic book style. It's been, as a fan of the books myself from way back, it's been a fantastic privilege to be working on it.
And in one of the more interesting connections for the show, one of the key producers is Seth Rogen, which is someone I wouldn't have expected on the list. It doesn't seem like a typical style or genre. What does he bring to the show?
Well, I mean, he is a huge fan of the book, like me, and is his writing partner, Evan Goldberg. And this is a passion project for them. They've been wanting to make this for years and years and years. When you bring that kind of passion, that fanboy passion, to a show like this, I think it's actually important that it's in the hands of people like that, because they guard, you know, the integrity of Garth and Steve's work while injecting it with their own special style. You know, it is a different medium, so it has to be told in a slightly different way, but they're very, very faithful to the content and the spirit of the books. And Seth, you know, Seth and Evan, they directed the first two episodes of season two, and fantastic. It, like the comics, you never quite know what's coming next with those two. So, everybody had to be very flexible on set when they came up with different story ideas, different camera ideas, and it was great.
Yeah, it looks like it was a lot of fun to work on. It's got that sort of dark humor to it, as you said, and such a unique voice. And your character is one of those unique voices playing the Saint of Killers, who we meet piece by piece throughout the first season. And based on where we ended, I hope we'll see more of. I was wondering, what can you tell us about the Saint of Killers?
Well, he was a cowboy, which is the character you really meet in season one. A cowboy who is like all of the characters, all the main characters in the story, are struggling with that inner conflict between good and evil. He's trying to be a good man. He's trying to be a family man. And that is taken away from him in the most appalling way. And he becomes almost an Old Testament biblical vengeful figure after that. And that's how you leave season one. And then he is recruited by heaven and hell, or hell in this case, to go after Preacher, to get Genesis. But Jesse happens to be the host of that entity. So he doesn't have anything personal against him at this point. He is simply a means to an end. He's in the way, just like anybody that stays in the Saint's path. I mean, when I was filming it, I always felt sorry for the guest stars that would come in and have a seat with me, because, you know, they might as well just leave the engine running with them. You know, in the most appalling way. Jesse has Genesis, and if the Saint gets Genesis back, the deal he has made is that he gets to rejoin his family in heaven. So in that sense, his journey, in a very twisted, violent way, is motivated by love. Love for his family. And that's, you know, I think anyone with a family can imagine themselves going through any kind of hell in order to protect them. So that's how I see it.
Yeah, and as we see in season one, he's sort of replaying that day where his family is lost over and over. And but I was wondering, like, would you mentioned about him, you know, seeking, I believe you said vengeance. I could be wrong, but I was wondering, do you feel he's a man of justice or a man of vengeance? I mean, or is there a difference in this case?
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. I think he sees, certainly in season one, he is motivated by a sense of justice. I mean, it's very extreme.
Sure.
Why I kind of look at the whole sort of Old Testament feel of it. It is like, you know, you just do this to my family, and I do this to the whole town. You know, and I start with the children. I mean, that's pretty dark stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's no half measures with the Saint. I think he has a sense of justice. You're right. He does. And when he goes back to that town, he goes back originally for all of the best reasons.
Yeah.
You know, he's going back to help this family. You know, against all of the things that his wife has just told him. And a good deed like that, where did it lead? It leads to, all of this tragedy. And so, yeah, he's motivated by, I guess, a mixture of both.
Really. Mm.
And his rage is,
yeah, it's such a unique character. I was wondering, is there something in particular that draws him to you? How do you connect with a character like this?
Well, you know, I mean, he's my favorite character from the books.
Hmm.
So, it, first of all, it's just enormous fun to do it. And I think anybody, you know, there are different ways of connecting with these characters. And in this case, when I put on that duster coat, put on the hat, strap 10 pounds of iron to my waist and ride a horse into a western town, you know, that does a lot of the work for you, believe me, if you've grown up in the UK. And he's also a man who's, he's based on a kind of mixture of Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin, particularly, you know, Eastwood in Unforgiven and that sort of thing. And I grew up with Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin. In Unforgiven, I've seen that film many, many times. And so, as an actor who loves that, to be given the opportunity to pay homage to it through this sort of performance is just, you know, once in a lifetime, really. So there is that. And in terms of his anger or rage or just things of injustice or vengeance, we all have different approaches. When I have to really feeling. I think of my own family. I think of any harm coming to them. I think of my young children, and if anything even remotely as bad happened to them as happened to the Saints family, that will be a surefire motivator for some pretty extreme behaviour. And I think that's how I relate to him. And he's, you know, he appeals to a lot of fans of the book.
Sure.
And I think partly he does represent the sort of the purity of that justice. You know, there's no, it's not, you know, we're not going to debate about this. We're not going to hear your point of view. You're simply going to be punished for it. And that's, I think, that's always been an appealing thing in the character. And Eastwood, of course, hugely personified that in many of his roles.
You know, in thinking of that and thinking of the Western sense to it, one of the things that also is a strong characteristic of the Western genre is the idea of the spiritual nature. And certainly that is all over the place here in every sense of the word. I was wondering, do you think it's a generally positive tone, or does it hold more angst and maybe deeper questions that we don't see in this genre usually?
Yeah, I think for me, what is really being explored in the story, and, you know, we use these external manifestations in the story of heaven and hell, of God and Satan, and all this, but really, it is those characters, you know, to my mind, Tulip, Cassidy, Jesse, the Saint, who are struggling with this internal conflict between good and bad, good and evil, if you call it that, that people try and do good things, and they screw it up. Now, in some examples with these characters, it's done in the most extreme way imaginable, but it essentially tells a human story set against a sort of supernatural, maybe spiritual background. But the story is sort of universal. And that's, I think, what's appealing to me about it is that there are no neat answers in Preacher. It's not something you read for comfort or sort of easy solution. It's not like the kind of procedural dramas that you get a lot on television where, you know, something bad happens, a good person intervenes, the resolution is that evil is punished and good triumphs. It's much murkier and a lot more grey in Preacher. I mean, there are moments in season two for my character where you actually feel sympathy. And you feel that perhaps he's, you know, he does some pretty bad things, but some pretty bad things get done to him. So it's more subtle, I think.
It's interesting because right now there seems to be a real press, especially in television, with this sort of spiritual questioning. You know, you see shows like American Gods or Hand of God or Supernatural, which seems to never die. I think they're on their 900th season now or something like that. I was wondering, I mean, this is a particularly broad question, I understand, but do you think there's something in American culture right now that is drawing to these sorts of ideas, or is what is the appeal right now?
Well, you know, I think particularly, you know, the post Second World War, even, I mean, maybe a little more recent than that, but there's been a search for some sort of collective identity among people, not just in America. I mean, I can speak to somebody from Britain, and, you know, the sort of the rise of individualism against community, all of those things. I think they all play towards giving an appeal to shows which explore an alternative to that, a solution, you know,
sure,
trying to resolve things in more of a communal way, in some regards, a more spiritual way, finding answers. But at the same time, not delivering the answers in a sort of easily spoon-fed way. You know, it reflects the complexity of our time post-war in lots of ways. I think to When, you know, particularly in a conflict situation, you know, Second World War being an example, you were faced with a very obvious enemy. You know, this was fascism that needed to be defeated. And my father, you know, fought that war against fascism. Nowadays, conflicts are just part, well, A, they're never ending. And it all seems very murky. I think it's very difficult for people to understand what is going on a lot of the time in the world in terms of politics and, you know, different cultures. I think we're, in some ways, we live in a society now that knows more about the rest of the world than ever before. But at the same time, I think that knowledge frightens us for some people. And so you get all sorts of difficult and conflicting reactions to that experience. And television always reflects, hopefully, the times that we live in. And perhaps that's partly why. Yeah.
Well, sure. What can we expect in season two? I know you can't give spoilers away, but the tone is obviously going to have to shift. Like you'd mentioned about them being on the road and going different places. Anvil is no more. If we saw as we saw the season finale of the first season, what can we expect from season two?
Well, you've got the same characters, but they're in a different show in some ways, because as you say, all these characters that we got to know in season one all just died. And I can't think of another show that's done that. I mean, it makes Game of Thrones look tame in comparison in terms of, you know, the death toll amongst the regular cast.
Sure.
So you're faced with the same people, but in a slightly different situation. Now, it's very much more the road trip, and it's also really where the comics begin. Now we're with them in anybody who has read the comics will recognize the world that they all live in now in season two. And it gives the opportunity of introducing the audience and the characters into all sorts of unusual situations. And they meet, you know, Hairstar and all that group. You've got some other characters that are being introduced that I won't spoil you with knowledge of, but they are great. I mean, they are some of the most entertaining and interesting aspects of the entire season, I think. And so it's in true Preacher form. I would read every script and every time in the same way that I have when I read the comics. There would be moments where you turn the page and you'd go, I cannot believe that they're going to do that. That's really, they're going to do that. They're going to film that. And yeah, they did. And it's never predictable. I mean, even from the very beginning of season two with the action sequence, which is a common enough occurrence in any television show, and it contains, you know, many of the same elements. There are explosions, there's gunfire, but Preacher adds all sorts of other quirky detail to something which is very commonplace. And I think that's really one of the huge strengths of the show, is that there will always be a few moments in each episode where the audience will go, I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming at all. And that's, you know, that's rare in television, because we're so familiar with the conventions of TV now. We're so familiar with the language of television that for people to be surprised is hard, and I think we do it very well.
There's no question. Being unfamiliar with the source material, watching season one, the first episode I was intrigued. By the third, I was totally hooked. And there's some really great characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a surprising character drama in a lot of ways too. I mean, we've mentioned the surprise, the twists, and the comedy, but there's some really great characters being created. Saint of Killers being one of them. By the end of season one, I was really intrigued to see where his journey was going.
Yes, absolutely. He has some twists and turns of his own in season two, that's for sure.
I have no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Is there, just as we start to wrap up, is there anything else that you're working on that you can tell us about that's coming soon?
Well, the only thing that I can tell you, there's a couple of things that I have to keep secret about, which is always very strange in this business these days, but it seems that it's just de rigueur now that you can never talk about anything.
I'm going to assume that means you're the new Iron Man. I'm kidding.
But I completed a really great independent New Zealand film actually last year, shot in New Zealand story, kind of somewhat of a Western actually, set in the mid-19th century during the Gold Rush, about the abduction of a child and then the mother of the child getting a little posse together of whom I am. I'm not about posse, called The Stolen, and that's coming out later this year. And that was something that I really enjoyed doing, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it. So that's something I can definitely tell you now. But the other two things, we'll just have to wait.
Graham, thank you so much. What a joy to talk to you, and really, really appreciate the opportunity. Preacher Season 2 starts on Sunday, you said, and the new episodes come on Mondays. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yep, correct.
Great.
Well, it's been a pleasure to see you as well. Thanks so much.
No, thank you. Thank you, Graham. All right. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. And as always, we started the conversation. This was Screenfish.